Awareness, the final frontier. These are the explorations of Jonathan Robinson and Brian Tom O'Connor. Their continuing mission, to discover fresh new paths to the mystery within, to seek out new joys and new methods of awakening, to boldly go into the heart of expanded consciousness. This is Awareness Explorers.
Well, welcome back, Awareness Explorers and fellow Cosmic Inquirers. And speaking of Cosmic Inquirers, this is Jonathan Robinson. I'm with my co-host,
Brian Tom O'Connor,
who is a great cosmic comadre.
I was going to say cosmic interlopers. I don't know why that word popped into my mind, but who knows whether that's appropriate or not.
That can work. You know, today we're going to be talking about a subject which I am very focused on currently because I'm writing a book about it. And it's the subject of perfectionism and control and how we are brainwashed in a society to be focused on things being perfect and having things in control and how that can interfere with our spiritual path. And when I mention those terms, Brian, what shows up for you?
Well, certainly I think control is one of the basic problems in humanity, is the desire for control, the desire for control of others, which you see in war and politics and countries fighting each other and communities fighting each other and races and religions and families, the desire that everyone should act the way you think they should, and internally as well. Our own inner conflicts have a lot to do with the fact that we want to control how we are as opposed to allowing. And as far as perfectionism goes, I do have a bunch of things to say on that. But first, I was curious about your book. What's the premise of the book that you're writing about this?
Well, the premise is that we've been kind of brainwashed or hypnotized into always pursuing perfectionism and control, and that those things don't, after a certain point, help our peace or our spirit or our relationships or anything. The book is kind of in a funny way called Strive for Mediocrity. And when I use those terms, people laugh because that's the exact opposite of everything we've ever learned in our lives. You know, we should always be go for the gold and have the perfect wedding or the perfect marriage or the perfect body. And all that keeps us very, very busy and very, very much not focused on allowing things to be as they are and being with things as they are, which is the basis of trying to find inner peace and the background of awareness. So this cultural brainwashing is really in the exact opposite direction of what's going to lead to long-term peace, and therefore it's a very big problem.
Yes, that's absolutely right. That sounds fascinating and a great point of view, and I agree. One distinction I'd like to make, though, I was thinking about this when we decided to talk about this, and I actually think there are two kinds of perfectionism. I think there's toxic perfectionism and constructive perfectionism. Actually, maybe constructive perfectionism is just another term for professionalism or craftsmanship or simply...
Or maybe impeccability.
Impeccability. Well, yes, you could say that. High standards of quality, you could say.
Yeah.
But it's toxic if imperfection makes you unhappy, if you suffer when things don't go exactly your way. But it can be constructive if you find great joy in doing your best to make something of quality or making something that you want to share. And making something of quality means sweating the details. It's toxic if you make everyone you work with miserable when it's not perfect, but it's constructive if you inspire people's best efforts and you can take joy in the sharing and appreciation of something that you and other people have created with care and quality.
Yeah, I like your distinctions, because everything has a good side and a bad side to it. And this idea of toxic perfectionism versus doing your best as a way of being your best in a heartfelt manner are very different experiences. The problem is that we tend to start with the idea, yeah, I want to do my best, I want to have high standards, and this other thing tends to take over. And then we run into trouble. You know, the Serenity Prayer of AA comes to mind. It comes to mind, although I can't remember it.
You know what? Why don't we look it up? The exact quote, because it's really actually quite beautifully written. Hold on one second.
I have it here.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. The Serenity Prayer says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah, that's perfect. And it perfectly applies to what you've been talking about.
So how one makes those distinctions, though, is a conundrum, because we can always fool ourselves into thinking, well, I just like to have everything be perfectly clean because cleanliness is next to godliness. Or we can say, well, I just like to have everything done right. You know, it occurred to me, well, I could stop being a control freak if other people could stop screwing up so much.
Yes, exactly. I think the key is that the difference is, if you don't base your happiness on whether or not things are perfect, then you can strive for quality, but be okay when perfection isn't reached. And you can enjoy the happy accidents that happen during the creative process. And you can also be ready to share your work before it's utterly perfect. In other words, let's say you're creating something and you have a deadline and you do your best and the deadline comes and you present it. And if it has flaws, you say, okay, nobody's perfect, but you see the good qualities of it too. And the next time, maybe you try and do it better. But really the key is, are you unhappy when things are not perfect? Are you basing your happiness on events outside of yourself as opposed to the inner awareness that's there?
Yeah, that's a good point. And unfortunately, our culture teaches us that the right way to be happy is to try to control all the people and all the circumstances in your life to go the way that you want them to go. And of course, that's a tiring task. It rarely works because there's like 100 different variables. I mean, just today, it's early, it's 10 in the morning for me, my cell phone stopped working, my internet stopped working, I have water damage in our house because there was a leak somewhere, and my credit card was stolen yesterday and somebody's using it. And it's early. We haven't even gone through the day.
What a day.
Well, that's a little bit more than usual. But if you're hoping for things to go smoothly, there's so many variables in life now. And we haven't even gotten to the people. You know, there's also people in my life who aren't doing what I want. And to the extent that I put the weight of my life or my happiness on things going smoothly, I'm going to be in trouble. So I like to say that I'm a recovering perfectionist because I got all the programming from our society. And at some point I started to see, wait, this is a bad deal. I better put the weight of my life on awareness or on meditation, because that's at least much more in my control. And being a, quote, control freak or recovering control freak is a process, just like, you know, recovering from alcoholism. You know, you can use the 12 steps, you can use humor, you can be in support groups. But unfortunately, unlike AA, there are no Control Freaks Anonymous or Perfectionists Anonymous to help you. The disease is so common that it's almost like everybody would have to join.
That's right. I think it's interesting that when you talk about recovering perfectionist, there's another form of toxic perfectionism that I'm recovering from, which is the fear of putting yourself out there or putting your creations out there until they're perfect for fear of criticism. So when you look at your work or look at what you've created or look at your profession or look at your skills and you see they're not perfect and therefore you don't share them with the world, then you are really losing out. But the people who have been successful in their professions or in whatever artistic or professional endeavors they have, when they give advice to people, you hear the same thing over and over again. Be okay with failing. Fail over and over again. And really, that's the way to succeed. As a matter of fact, I think it was Niels Bohr. He had this great quote. Let me see if I can remember it. It's something like, an expert is someone who has made all the mistakes possible in a narrow field.
But you bring up a really important point, and that is that a lot of us are perfectionists in certain slices of our life and not in others. And like, for example, my wife is a perfectionist when it comes to cleanliness, and I'm not. I'm okay in any environment that way, but I'm a perfectionist when it comes to sports. Like, I'll get down on myself if I don't play tennis right. Instead of playing tennis, I kind of compete at tennis. And you're a perfectionist when it comes to putting out your creative stuff, and I'm not, which has allowed me to write 15 books. They start off kind of crappy, and with feedback, they got better, and until by the time they were published, they were good. So the fact that I don't have that restriction has allowed me to put out a lot of stuff. So sometimes this dis-ease or disease takes place of one part of our life, like in our hobbies or in our work or in our relationships. Some people are very controlling in their relationships or with their kids, always telling, thinking they know how their kids should be. And in any area where you have that level of desire for control or need for control, you will tend to be pretty unhappy.
Yes, that's right. And it's true that we have different areas where we're controlling and some areas where we're not. I wonder why these particular areas are like that. I think that they're the areas in which we have invested our identity and invested our desire for approval.
Good insight. And trying to unhook yourself from that is a process. I'm going through that a little bit. I have been pretty successful in my career as a writer and speaker, and now I'm trying to let go of that a little bit. I've always been a little bit of a perfectionist in terms of my career, and now I actually have to unhook my identities. People even come up to me and they say, "Oh, what are you working on?" And what's the latest thing you're doing? And I go, "Oh, not much." And it's hard to do that because a lot of my identity was hooked into being successful. And you kind of go through a little bit of a grieving process when you are letting go of perfectionism and control and allowing things to be as they are. And it is a process. I like to use humor, because humor is a great way of A, seeing your controlling tendencies, and B, kind of lubricating them so you let go more easily. So for this new book I am writing, I did this thing where I came up with ways to know if you're a control freak. In the same way that Jeff Foxworthy, the comedian, used to say, if you call your boss, dude, you might be a redneck, or if you don't put on a clean shirt for work, you might be a redneck. Well, so here are my ways to know if you're a control freak for all our listeners out there. if you criticize yourself for being self-critical, you might be a control freak. You know, if you see speed limit signs as mere suggestions, you might be a control freak. If you have taught your cat how to sit and stay, you might be a control freak. If your discussion about what toppings to put on a pizza with your mate turns into a knockout, drag down fight, you might be a control freak. Things like that. And there's a lot of indications where you get to see, well, yeah, in terms of what I eat, I'm definitely a control freak. My wife and I had a 20-minute discussion about what to put on pizza 2 days ago, and it got pretty heated there. So it can seep into certain areas and cause problems. So I'm always on the lookout for it.
Well, that's a great list.
Oh, I take it you can relate to some of those.
Yes, I can relate to plenty of those, and that's a really great list and really funny. And also, I wanted to circle back to something you said about family, because control is such a key issue in family dynamics. We want to control each other. We want our spouses, we want our children, we even want our parents, our siblings, to be the way we want them to be instead of the way they are. And this causes a lot of conflict and pain and suffering, not just for the people you are controlling, but for yourself. And I really think that Warren Buffett had a quote that really is the key to this. He said that unconditional love is the most powerful force in the universe. And he was talking in this particular instance about unconditional love from a parent to a child, because he felt he experienced that from his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. It really is unconditional love that's the solution to the interfamily and interrelational controlling, is accepting people exactly the way they are. And this is probably one of the greatest challenges in life you can take on, but I think it's so well worth taking on.
Yeah, it because it's really the entrance to love and awareness, this yes. idea of acceptance, you know, accepting whether it be people or your environment, like or something not being perfect. But I found a great technique that I use for people that works pretty well. First of all, I have a history of not doing that, you know, in my earlier days. And even in getting married, at first I married the fantasy of my wife. And then after a few years, I decided that I would actually marry my actual wife, which were two different people. And she noticed that shift, you know, because at one time I was trying to get her to be in line with my fantasy and couldn't understand why she wasn't. And then it became, oh, well, she isn't my fantasy. She is herself. Maybe I can learn to actually accept the person that I actually married. And the way I did that was using a very ingenious technique, which was I would ask myself the question, can I allow my wife to be how she is for the next 20 seconds? Because that's a jumping off point. Like, you know, I'm not going to allow her to be how she is forever, because that, of course, is intolerable, you know, or that's unreasonable. That's too big a leap. But I can allow her to be exactly how she is for the next 20 seconds. And I would notice that something in me would relax and kind of open up. And she could feel it, which would allow her to relax and open up. And soon we were more in love, because we were allowing each other to be how we were. And I think that's a good model for how to bring or let go of toxic perfectionism and toxic control in other areas of our life. That if you learn that letting go is a way to more peace, then it can kind of organically start growing within yourself.
I think that's such a super technique and really important. And the for the next 20 seconds idea is really so key because, you know, we talk about allowing everything to be as it is as the first step in our awareness process, the second one being noticing the awareness in which all things appear. But you can only allow everything to be as it is in this moment, right now. It's not something you can even do in the future. And when you take the pressure off, you take the future out of it, and you just say, just for now, just for a few moments, just for the next 20 seconds, I'm going to allow this person or that person or myself or the world to be exactly as it is. Great technique. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And there's other methods I've used. One is to use certain affirmations. One affirmation that I'll use is, however things are going, root for it to go that way.
Yes.
You know, that's pretty relaxing.
No, I do like that one. That's tricky, but I think really valuable.
Yeah. And, you know, also changing what I'm aiming for. Like at one time I wanted to be, this will sound funny, I wanted to be like a world-class meditator.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm okay being a mediocre meditator. It's much easier. And it actually opens up the field. I mean, if you're trying to be a world-class meditator, you got to be pretty intense and push yourself, you know, which is the exact opposite of what you're trying to accomplish. So, you know, yeah, I'm aiming for a mediocre meditation session. And by golly, I achieve that almost every single time.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You rock. But
yeah, well, go on.
Meditation is the opposite of control.
Yeah, yeah. But it's funny how we can bring control into it because we're so pointed in that direction that it can take over everything. And that's where we have to start looking at, is this tendency for control taking over stuff and hiding as, oh, I just have good standards, or I just like things to be done right.
Yes, good point. And here's a good tip. If you are meditating and you feel upset because you're not controlling your mind, then you're probably not doing it right.
Right.
Someone wise once said, if you battle against your mind, you'll be at war forever. It's watching your mind. It's allowing the thoughts come in. It's watching what happens. It's noticing what happens. Mm-hmm. And being okay with what happens and allowing yourself to identify with the clear, empty, allowing, accepting field that it's all happening in.
Yeah, yeah. It's a real breath of fresh air when you open up to the power of allowing versus the pain of perfectionism.
Yes. There's another subject I wanted to talk about when we decided to talk about perfectionism. It reminded me of the Japanese theory of wabi-sabi. Do you know about that?
A little bit.
It's kind of a, it's both an aesthetic theory and a way of life philosophy. And the essence of wabi-sabi is based on three concepts: that everything is imperfect, impermanent, and incomplete. Or in other words, mm-hmm. nothing lasts, nothing's finished, nothing is perfect. And when you think about it, it's actually true. This is sort of in alignment with nature. Nothing is perfect, nothing lasts forever. And everything is a work in progress. Everything is in the process of becoming. And in wabi-sabi, you apply that to, for instance, pottery. If it's cracked or it's old or it's not symmetrical, it has a certain beauty to it. And even there's another form of fixing pottery. I think it's called kintsugi, where you take cracked pottery and you're mending it, but you're filling the crack with a lacquer made of gold dust so that the actual cracks shine out in gold so that you're actually drawing attention to the cracks themselves, but it's actually beautiful. And you're seeing that, yes, it's been damaged, and yes, we fixed it, and isn't this crack that we fixed it with part of its beauty? And I think that's such a beautiful way of looking at life and the world and the aesthetics and philosophy.
Yeah, and it's a different programming than what we get in this culture a lot. One of my favorite lines from a Leonard Cohen song is, everything has a crack in it. That's how the light gets through, yeah, or something like that.
There's a crack in everything.
There's That's a crack in everything.
Like. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that song and I love that quote.
So if you can go from allowing things to be a little out of control, because they are, or a little bit not perfect, to appreciating how things are never within our control and appreciating the imperfection and stuff, that's even a higher level of being in the world.
That's right.
And speaking of perfectionism and non-perfectionism, we started doing this awakening coaching thing, and it's really fun to help people see where they're holding on and to allow those moments where they are able to see something through their awareness and from that seeing, let go into a deeper level of peace. And it's fun to do it on yourself, but it's really great to work with other people and allow those aha moments of releasing that we've been able to do with people in our awakening coaching. And if people want more information about that, we have a whole thing about it on our website, awarenessexplorers.com. And we also have those meditations, and I've been using the meditations because every week we do an additional guided meditation. And if I say so myself, they're not perfect, but they're really good. And they are really wonderful because being that I'm somewhat lazy, you just press play and there's like 25 meditations now, ranging from 4 minutes to 15 minutes. And they guide you to a place that's really beyond the mind into pure awareness usually. And to listen to a couple of them in a row is really one of my favorite things to do right now. Have you listened to our own guided meditations?
I sure have. I really like them. I think they're great. Yeah, I test drive them before I put them up.
Yeah, and we're getting some good comments about them. So thanks for listening, and feel free to spread them to your friends, family, all those people who are currently not perfect. Once they listen to the guided meditations, that may change, or you might let go of the need for them to be perfect. So they are really been a really good resource, and I thank you, Brian, for putting them up there.
Oh, you're welcome.
And speaking of guided meditations, if I'm not mistaken, you're going to guide us in one more. About now.
That's right. As a matter of fact, I was inspired by the idea of Wabi Sabi to see if I could craft a guided meditation around that and around the whole idea of perfectionism, control, and allowing things to be as they are. So, you ready?
I am all in my amazing meditation position in which I hope to have a truly transcendent life-altering experience. No, scratch that. I'm going to go for mediocre and just allow things to be as they are.
That's a good way of looking at it. So yes, so here's the next imperfect meditation. First, of course, take a few moments to sit comfortably. Take a few easy, deep breaths, and just relax. Just for now, we're only concerned with this moment. In this moment, See if you can simply allow everything to be exactly as it is. Let's leave thoughts about the future for another time, and just allow this moment to be as it is, now, here. That means allowing yourself to feel exactly as you feel right now, without trying to change anything. Allowing your body to be just as it is right now. Allowing your emotions to be just as they are right now. Even allowing your thoughts to be just as they are right now. They come, they go. Just allow them. That means allowing everyone else to be exactly as they are right now. That means allowing the world to be exactly as it is, right now, just for now. If any ideas arise about changing anything, fixing anything, adding anything, or getting rid of anything, just let them waft in and waft out, like clouds wafting through a blue sky on a breezy day. Now, reflect on the idea that everything and everyone is imperfect. You have your flaws and imperfections. So does everyone else in the world. It's nature. Just for now, can you allow all your imperfections, flaws, and even neuroses to be exactly as they are right now? Can you see the beauty in the imperfections of the world and of yourself? Now reflect on the idea that everything and everyone is impermanent. Nothing stays the same. Nothing lasts forever. Change is the only constant. Can you soften your hold and allow things to change and evolve naturally? Can you see the beauty in changing the world and the cycle of birth and death and rebirth? Now reflect on the idea that everything and everyone is incomplete. You are a work in progress. The world is a work in progress. Your life is a work in progress. Can you see the beauty in the ongoing, never-ending process of becoming? And just remember, the beautiful paradox of the interplay between imperfection and impermanence. When we hold on too tightly to the way we think things have to be, we don't allow the natural change to flow. But when we soften our grip on ourselves and the world, the innate process of change is allowed to flow naturally, and things, mysteriously, get better. Now, take another easy deep breath, and when you're ready, open your eyes.
Well, Brian, that was a real treat. It went far beyond my mediocre expectations.
I'm so glad.
And I think it's truly useful to engage people in that type of meditation, that point of view as well. You know, I'm noticing that sometimes you have a slight knocking sound behind you of people doing construction and. You know, if I need this to be perfect sound, we're screwed because it's hard to get perfect sound. So life is always showing us our attachment to things being just the way we want them to be. And I take that as a signal, well, can you let go into this? Can you be okay with this? And so life is always giving us those little reminders.
Yes, that's perfect. Or not. But yeah, there's construction. People are renovating the apartment above. And we actually made it through most of the episode. I guess they were on lunch break and now they're back.
Yeah.
But at the end, we hear that tap, tap, tapping. So you're right. It's just part of life, part of the imperfection of life.
And your meditation reminds us to be okay with that.
Yep.
Well, may the little annoyances of life, the little unpredictabilities of life, go at a nice, even pace for you, and you can digest them and allow them to be as they are for both you, Brian, and our listeners out there, and to use some of the concepts that we talked about today to look at your own perfectionism and control and see if you can loosen that bottle cap a little bit and allow the wonder and beauty of this moment to seep into you more fully.
I'm relaxing just thinking about it. Nice.
And of course, till next time, keep exploring.
Keep exploring.
Thank you for listening to Awareness Explorers. To learn more, you can check out our website at awarenessexplorers.com. Please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast app. And we'd love it if you would post a review. And please share our link on Facebook and with family and friends, because knowing yourself as awareness is the greatest gift you can give yourself or someone you love.
Sometimes if you record something on a different day, your voice sounds completely different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm probably going to go ahead and record that that meditation as soon as I can.
Good.
Maybe I should even try now. What do you think? You want to give it a whirl?
Okay.
All right. They stopped. I tell you what, I'm going to go, and if they start hammering, I'll just stop and I'll let you go, and we'll do it another time.
Okay.
Oh, drilling. Now they're drilling. Can you hear it?
Yeah, no, I can. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Forget it. What I'll do is I'll try and do it tomorrow at noon, you know, or 1 o'clock seem to be. We start at 1 o'clock. That seems to be when they take lunch.
Uh-huh.
Probably get a good half hour at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
You could also do it at 10 o'clock tonight. They probably
won't. Yeah, you're right. I should do that. That's what I'll do. Uh-huh.